This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings, Love, Spiritual Growth, and Understanding Stress. And our author is Pilar O. Tan, MD, who joins me from the New York City area. Welcome to the program this morning, Pilar.
Thank you.
Dr. Tan, as you begin your story, we have talked before. You had an unsettling, most people would call it a tragedy in your life, that perhaps put you on the path to learning about how to recover from stress. Tell the audience a little of that, of your son.
Yes. I lost my son unexpectedly at 39 years old. And we were very close together, and we have a very loving relationship. And I was so devastated, and all these years that I have been practicing internal medicine for 40 years, I've been counseling my patients with their losses, so I am able to put everything that I learned, plus I realized that there are the ego defenses that Freud wrote a long time ago actually helps when it is used consciously to manage stress constructively. And there's an inverse relationship between how painful the stress is and the mature ego defenses. So if you learn how to use it consciously, regardless of how stressful life becomes, you can always be constructive by using the five mature ego defenses constructively.
You have been in the United States a number of years, but your original country of origin is the Philippines.
Right. I came to the United States at age 24 and worked as a medical intern right away. And I practiced internal medicine for 40 years here in Elizabeth, New Jersey, as a primary care physician. And I also taught the art of medicine with the medical school here called New Jersey College of Medicine. And I have been given the award as a humanitarian award for our foundation in the hospital. It's called Trinitas Hospital Foundation. And I raised two spiritual children.
Phenomenal. And you primarily are dealing as a primary care physician.
Correct.
You have written in your book about mature ego defenses and beyond. In part one, you talk about the mature ego defenses. And an important chapter or an important concept that you have included in your book is the attitude or the direction of faith or the importance of faith. You have talked about the journey to holiness, faith in God, character and development of values, acceptance of suffering, peace and joy, and other topics. Why was the faith aspect so important to your book?
Because in life, I learned that if your life is smooth, you don't need God. God is a crowning glory, according to a very learned person in England about 1800. But for living in an asymmetrical life, that means a life full of pain, you need God. You need God in your life to survive. And you achieve peace and love through learning for growing spiritually.
That's every person on the planet, from my perspective.
Thank you.
I mean, there's no one that has actually achieved complete happiness and peace without some type of spiritual involvement or spiritual relationships.
Correct. I think so, too.
You also, in dealing with your book, How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings, that underscores the fact of that humans don't have a stress-free life. I have a neighbor that has passed away this past week from a very serious illness that he had been fighting for 16 years. And then this same week, a neighbor of mine, her mother also died. There was stress involved. How do you deal with stress? What is the way to overcome it?
To accept pain as part of life, that is very stressful, and to use the five mature ego defenses, which are suppression, sublimation, anticipation, humor, and altruism. You have to learn this because you can consciously apply them, and for every problem that you go through, you come out constructive to your life and live a life of peace and love.
How long did it take you to complete your book when you began to write it and decided to share your story and also share your insight?
5 years.
5 years of writing. This is 318 pages. You have included in there also some poetry, some other things, including 17 specific tips on how to approach life. Do you remember any of those? I mean, I guess you would, but you talk about the importance of play, the importance of courage, peace, joy, understanding, and another one that some people seem to forget, and that is humor or laughter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How important is that?
Humor is part of the mature ego defenses, and the rest that you enumerated are part of your self-development as a person, which there's one book that's really good in explaining it, and it's Eric Erickson from Harvard, that his life was just about the developmental stages in one's life. And those are the stages that you have to acquire while growing up to be equipped to deal with life maturely.
You talk about sublimation or creativity. Be creative in managing your weight if you're a person that's concerned about weight. Channel your painful emotions with creative, constructive activities you enjoy, such as dancing, sports, or walking. And, of course, in the United States, as you are aware, having been a resident here for over 40 years, people who are concerned about weight and are overweight, that's something that is a stress point with many of our people in our world.
Yes. Actually, being overweight is an immature way of coping with stress. Instead of doing so constructive, you try to eat more. That's eating right away to have immediate gratification. One of the mature defenses is called suppression. That means you are disciplined enough to delay your gratification.
How do you improve your energy? Many of us who are in a stress-filled world lose our energy. How do you increase that?
Okay, energy is a compilation of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energy combined together. When you have hatred, a lot of emotional baggage, lack of forgiveness, and you're overweight and you don't exercise and you don't mentally grow, you will end up having less energy. A lot of people say, oh, I'm tired all the time. Actually, they haven't done anything to use their energy, but they are tired emotionally and mentally. So you have to overcome that. When you overcome all these negative aspects, you focus your life on the energy, your energy to things that you're supposed to accomplish. And you have peace and you enjoy your work because you have no other baggage in your mind.
That's also part of the spiritual component, isn't it?
Right.
Getting rid of the negativity in our lives.
Mm-hmm. You have to forgive. And you have to love unconditionally.
Share the general thoughts. As you begin to write this, who did you want to reach with your message? Who is your target audience?
Actually, hopefully, I wanted to help everybody globally, starting with young adults, because the book explores how to develop a constructive love relationship. An adult to old age, because it includes knowledge important to being physically and mentally healthy, to love and live well, whatever happens in their lives.
To introduce this book to someone on the street corner that finds out that you, Dr. Tan, have also been an author, what would you say to get them interested into purchasing a book of how to live well, whatever life brings?
I will tell them that it's good for them to read this in spiritual informative book, and it's actually a guide, and it's like a companion for your life's journey, because it will make you see the points that you have to go through and to use along the way in your lifetime. It's also a good gift for all the people that you care about.
You
will be very grateful to be able to have the book as a companion. I have experienced it actually in my patients now, that those who wrote the book are very appreciative and claim to me that it changes their life. It's work to read it many times over, but it's helping them.
This also would be a great read for someone who is a counselor or in the profession of helping other people, because you have research in here along with your personal story.
Right. Yeah. My experience as an internist for 40 years gave me a lot of knowledge about stress and how to live a healthy life and mentally constructive life. But in addition to that, my personal experience increased my knowledge in such a way that I had read more and thought a lot more about the situation.
This book is different from others in the marketplace in that you have included your personal story and also have done some research paper or research notes in the book. Is there anything else about this particular story that you think would make it special?
This book, I have also written poetry and inspirational quotes from famous people who have undergone the same problems or wisdom in their lives, and I incorporated them, including with biblical excerpts, to make the its topic easy to understand and convince people that this is actually going to work.
They also will find this to be enjoyable because it's more than just a research book or research paper. It has your personal story, but it also has those personal elements you've just mentioned. Not only the quotations from others in the world who have addressed this topic, but also your poetry, which deals with life and life stress. Dr. Tan, as we've mentioned, this is not exceptionally difficult book to read. With the holiday seasons coming up, what is your thought? Would this make a good gift?
Yes, perfectly. And I'm giving it to all my friends also.
What will they find when they open its pages?
They think it's wonderful. And this book, actually, the proceeds will go to the humanitarian causes that my son dreamed of supporting when he was still alive. So this is a tribute to him, and all the proceeds will go to the causes that he wanted.
Very noble cause, and we wish you well in those endeavors. Audience, get a copy of the book, How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Dr. Tan, where do we get copies of your book?
You can get it from Balboa Press. We have a website that's almost done, but you can open it already. It's called HTTP Author Pilartan at WordPress.com, and also another website on www.balboapress.com.
Very good. And let me just spell for my audience the correct spelling of your name. Pilar is P-I-L-A-R, middle initial O, and last name Tan, T-A-N, just like Tan, and M-D. Dr. Tan, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story. This has it inspired you to write an additional follow-up book? Are you considering that for the future?
Yes. I have so many ideas. I think I'm starting to have a new experience from promoting this book, and I'm jotting it down.
Fabulous. We hope to visit with you in the future. Very much success, we wish, on this endeavor, How to Live Well, Whatever Life Brings, Love, Spiritual Growth, and Understanding Stress. Our author, Dr. Pilar O. Tan, thank you for joining me today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Honored to visit with you. For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Standing My Ground, a memoir of a woman physician. And joining me from Florida is Claire M. Callan, who is also a doctor and is joining me today. Welcome to the program, Claire.
Thank you, Jay.
The name Claire sounds possibly like it may have its origins in another country. What was your early history?
Well, I was born in England, but very quickly my parents took me to Ireland, which is where I grew up. And so I consider myself Irish. It's strange. If you're born in England, some of the real, true Irish people don't consider you Irish, even if your parents are both Irish. So I don't know.
Fascinating.
Why that should be a problem. But anyway.
I've never been to Ireland. My mom was born and left Ireland. I guess she was maybe 18. I'm not really sure on that. It's a little foggy. She has passed, so I can't ask her all of the real detailed questions that I'd like to ask her about her early upbringing. But I have that little twinge of Ireland in me somewhere, have a passion and a desire to go back, even though I've never been there. So there is something special about the country of Ireland. You grew up in seaside town titled or called Sandy Cove. Is that the name of the town?
It's a tiny little, I would say, that's really a village, although today it has expanded a little bit. But it's a village. It's known primarily because of James Joyce's Martello Tower near the beach where he used to swim.
Fascinating.
Just down the street from my house.
And that's Northern Ireland, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not Northern Ireland.
It's Southern Ireland.
It is Southern Ireland. One thing that confused me a little bit, your father was, would you call it enlisted in the Army during World War II? Or what was the status of your father, and why could he not visit his relatives?
Well, after my father and mother got married, they went to England where my father had a job. And then the war broke out, and he volunteered to serve in the Royal Air Force. And so during the war, when he was stationed, say, in Dublin, in Belfast, which is in Northern Ireland, he was not supposed to go into the south unless he had orders to do so. So that's why he had to sort of sneak in to see us when he had an opportunity.
That part is the part, I guess, that confused me about where your residence was. I'm fascinated by the fact that you have you moved to the United States, had training as a physician. What was the path that you took as a physician?
Well, I went to medical school, and then when I graduated, I chose the specialty of anesthesia. I did my residency in Dublin at the Mater Hospital. And then my husband, who's a psychiatrist, wanted to come over to the United States to get some of his training over here. So we came over, and I worked as a anesthesiologist while he was doing his training. And then after that, through different circumstances, I found that I was getting more involved with the business side of medicine and that I really enjoyed that business side more than the clinical side, so I made a switch.
You were you were successful as a leader in the medical profession, not just as a doctor. That challenged some of the norms of the time that you were involved in leadership. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes. One of the things that I saw was that, you know, women could do a lot in business, but they didn't always get the opportunity, and they didn't know how to become leaders, really. So I spent, in my volunteer work, I learned how to be a leader and how to do management, and I learned how to get others involved, you know, set up workshops, et cetera, and train other women to have the courage to take up leadership roles.
This book, your memoir, why did you decide you wanted to share your story?
Well, I had spent a lot of time working and traveling when my children were growing up, and then later when the grandchildren came along, and the grandchildren really had no idea what I did and why I was able to appear on their doorstep so frequently, because I was going to meetings near where they live. And so I decided I had done quite a few significant things during my career, and I really wanted them to know what I had done and how I had done it. And so I decided that I better write a book so that it would be easier for them to learn about my career. You know, it's not the same today as it was before, when families were all close together and you could really reach out and frequently update people on what you were doing and how you were doing it. But today, with families so scattered, ours are on the East Coast and the West Coast and up in Iowa. You know, we're not able to drop in for an afternoon or an evening very easily. So that's another reason that I decided I'd better write a book, or they'll never learn about what I did and how I did it.
In sharing your memoir and your history as a success in management, what is the story? What is the underlying message that you wanted to convey?
I wanted to convey the message that you can achieve what you set out your goal to be. You can, if you see that there is a need for something, like I saw a need when I got to the American Medical Association for the Physicians Consortium for Performance Improvement. I set about figuring out how to make this happen, how to identify leaders from the physician community who would help me get this very revolutionary ideas across that were being resisted strongly by physicians at that time, which is now 10 years ago, but now they've become such accepted ways of practicing, and not only of practicing medicine, but the reimbursement is tied in with how they follow the outlines that have been set up by this group and other groups for performance for the provision of healthcare.
Share your side trip to Honduras. What was that trip and what was that venture about?
That was when my husband, who was called up during the Vietnam War to serve in the Army, And when he had completed his service, he wanted to go somewhere and donate his services to one of these poorer countries. And through Catholic charities, he was sent down to Honduras to practice some psychiatry. So we all went with him, the four children and myself. And we drove down there so that he could get there to practice, which was a challenge for him because he didn't speak much Spanish at the time. So it was difficult with psychiatry in English and Spanish. But anyway, it was a very interesting 2 months that we spent down there. It was difficult to get there because they didn't have well-constructed roads. In fact, in some places, they had no roads at all. And we were driving a motorhome. And so we had some interesting drives down the sheer side of mountains, which I thought we might never make it. Uh-huh. We had an interesting experience with the army from Guatemala, who Guatemala and Honduras were at war at the time. And we were conscripted to transfer some soldiers who were due to go on leave, which was okay, except that they all had guns, and I wasn't sure what the kids would think about that. And, of course, we lost our brakes as we were going down the mountainside with these soldiers on board, so it was kind of a traumatic drive.
Was that the most exciting thing that you outline in your book, or are there other stories that might grab the reader?
Well, that's one of them. For the Honduran point of view, I think it was. Certainly was memorable. My poor husband did a great job keeping the motorhome upright and getting rid of the soldiers when we finally came to a stop was quite easy because they were very happy to get out of this crazy, crazy motorhome ride.
Which of the experiences and the stories that you tell gives you the most satisfaction?
One of the ones that gives me the most is the chapter in the book that describes the development of the drug, the team that I led for developing sevoflurane, because that was really, and my first book describes that, that's really the story of a very naive team. None of us had ever developed a drug before, who took this drug. It became such a person, it almost became one of our children. And we worked so hard to get it through the approval process in most of the countries in the world, not just the United States. And we had a very active opponent who kept voicing his fears that this drug was going to be very dangerous and was going to kill people and should never be approved. So we really, it wasn't an ordinary drug development program. It was one that had so many obstacles that we had to overcome, as well as doing the routine process for getting a drug developed. And we were able to do it in the very short time frame that we were given and with the very modest budget that we were given. So it was personal satisfaction because nobody in the company expected us to succeed, but we did.
Congratulations on sharing that story. 214 pages. How would you introduce this to someone who perhaps might not know what the book is about, Standing My Ground?
It's the story of the different challenges that I was able to find and to overcome during my lifetime. And in looking back, trying to tie it in with all of the changes in the environment that occurred during that time. Life is very different now from what it was when World War II was going on. And, you know, our ways of communicating are so different. Our ways of traveling are so different. Our ways of managing are very different. Even in healthcare, it's becoming so different for physicians. You know, you can no longer be an individual physician. You have to recognize that you need to be part of a team and not always be the leader. So there's so many, many opportunities to help others in your environment get in tune with what's going on.
Claire, how long did it take you to complete Standing My Ground? And was it a challenge remembering all of those details?
It took about a year. It's interesting in that both with Standing My Ground and with Siva Flooring, once I started to write, memories started to come back. And so I was able to, without using notes or anything like that, I was able to focus on what I was thinking about at the time, whether it was my school years, my college career, or my specialty training, or my management experiences with Abbott and with the American Medical Association. It all seemed to just flow back, which is kind of an interesting process for me.
Fabulous. The title of the book is Standing My Ground, the memoir of a woman physician. Our author, who has joined us from Florida, Claire M. Kellen. Thank you for being a part of today's program. Where can my listeners get copies of this book?
They can. I have a website, which is www.clairekallenmd.com. That's CLAIRCALLANMD.com. Or you can get it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Thank you for sharing your story. Are you planning to maybe do a sequel to this one?
I'm beginning to think about it.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and hope to talk with you in the future, and keep in touch. So thank you, Dr. Kellen, for joining me today. For Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Chubby Wubbles, and our author, M.J. Abrams, joins me from the Detroit area of the United States. Thank you, sir, for joining me today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And I mentioned to you that I grew up close to the Detroit area. It is an area that's in transition right now. You decided, because you have sort of retired from a long career, to become an author. Where did the title?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've retired to become an author. Actually, it was just like circumstance that happened. I always thought that one day it'd be nice to write a book as a personal accomplishment, so I could cross it off my bucket list.
Yeah,
I was just looking for the right moment, the subject matter and the storyline, and just wanted to be unique, entertaining, and not too complicated. So,
did you have a desire to be an author for quite some time beyond when you were younger? I guess would be the question.
Well, there were always ideas running through my head, but I never really sat down. You know, I was just kind of interested in a lot of different things. But being an author, I knew would be a full-time job, so to speak. So I thought that maybe if the chance came to me where I would be able to do something in that line, I'd just take advantage of it. But it's really not something that I had planned on being.
You just stumbled into your
stumbled into the bucket list.
Uh-huh. Now,
right.
Chubby is actually a real character. This is a 26-page or 28-page book. It's not a long read. Who's your target audience? Who did you want to reach with this? And share a little of the background of Chubby.
Well, I think it's a great book for parents and adults who are looking for an entertaining story. They can read to the younger children, even older children will also enjoy the reading on their own. Readers can follow the progression of the story, you know, while looking at the actual corresponding photo pictures that I took. I actually did the whole book by myself, you know, no help from other people. I just happened to take a lot of pictures. And Chubby, just to be PC
or politically correct about this, okay. Chubby is not a human.
No. Actually, when I wrote the book, over several iterations, I just titled it Chubby Wubbles. But then I decided to add a subtitle, A Ferret's Tale, because I think that when people really look at the cover, they can't really tell if it's a ferret, a squirrel, or what. They just see the name and then the picture. So I thought I'd add A Ferret's Tale to make it kind of clear as to you know, who this Chubby Wubbles character was. And actually, I perceived this an interesting story developing after observing a certain incident that happened with my son at his apartment when his pet ferret was almost escaped out the door. So at that moment, I began to envision like a dramatic scenario where the ferret would be left outside to fend for himself. And I felt it could develop into an interesting story because of all the possibilities of different outcomes. It was like a light bulb that went off, sort of like an aha moment. You know, it just...
So the story,
all I had to do was kind of fill in the blanks.
The story itself is actually fictional as far as the incidents involved, but it is taken from true or from real life.
Yes, actually. I enjoyed watching my son and his ferret play together, you know, when I visited them. So I just decided to write a book based on their life together. And it took some revisions over a period of time, you know, to get the story exactly the way I wanted it to turn out. I took care of his ferret when my son actually worked on a cruise ship for a couple of years, so I got to know more about his personality and behavior. And I didn't really write it to be a guide, you know, to cover all the fine points of caring for a ferret or an in-depth analytical study of his ferret's personality and how they interact with others. I just wrote it more for its entertainment value.
Is Jeffrey the real name of your son or the main character? Or
yeah,
did you,
actually.
It is. Okay.
I mentioned both my son Mark, who owned the ferret originally, and Jeffrey, who was the owner and took care of the ferret for a period of time.
Did they actually have an encounter with geese, or is that something that your imagination brought to the surface?
Well, actually, they lived in the apartment, which is actually close to the pond, and it's all part of the story. So there are geese around. But that's just one of the things that I felt would be an interesting part of the story.
As a sideline, were there some interesting sidelines or side stories that developed from telling this tale?
Well, it's just more or less a tale of how their relationship developed over a period of time. He was really just kind of sad and neglected. That's the way I took the story to start out, and just to end up as being a story where it has a happy ending and where everybody else is happy. It's just interesting. The main characters in the book, of course, are Jeffrey and his ferret, Chubby, and it centers around whether Chubby can ever find true happiness. So as the story unfolds, there's like a fateful connection, and that happens when my son Mark gives Jeffrey the opportunity to take care of his ferret because he can't take care of him any longer. So, you know, Jeffrey is interested, and they move in together, so to speak. So Jeffrey takes care of him and enjoys his company, and Chubby's a very playful ferret. He loves a lot of attention, even though he gets a little playful, you know, and he gets easily distracted. So
Has attention deficit disorder, like a lot of humans.
Yeah, you might say that. And then as time goes on, Chubby's curious nature eventually gets the best of him, and one day he manages to sneak outside and gets to experience the outdoors and the outdoor life that he often dreamed about when Jeffrey and Chubby went out for walks in the park. So it really leads to a dangerous encounter after Chubby sneaks outside on his own. And in the meantime, Jeffrey's trying to figure out where Chubby went. And so Chubby soon gets himself into a critical situation and hopes that somehow he's rescued before it's too late.
Did any underlying messages come through on this story that, you know, maybe hadn't intended or started out to write, but they did just show up?
There were some interesting things that you could say developed in the story. The book has some shortcomings, but overall, it's a story that the readers would think is well written, informative, entertaining, and that it's a nice story that has a wide range of emotions and elements that flow logically as the story unfolds and progresses to its conclusion.
And for young children who might read this, are there some tips or maybe some hints on how to take care of their pets in this?
Well, I hope that kids will come away with a little bit more insight and a better understanding of the ferret's personality and their behavior and why they may or may not make good pets. Actually, ferrets are like social animals that need attention, joy, interaction with other ferrets and pets. They're curious critters, and they can be easily distracted, wiggling their way into tight spots, which sometimes gets them in trouble. They like to grab things and drag them around, find hiding places for it, they really don't make a lot of noise, just kind of chirling sounds, and they tend to sleep a lot.
That sounds like my kind of life. I would like to do that myself. Yeah.
You pick up things and hide them.
I pick them up and don't remember where I put them. That's sort of the same idea. How long did it take you, Myron, to complete this particular book?
Well, actually, I started about 10 years ago, and it just took time to get the book exactly the way I wanted it. And I think it came out pretty good, actually, after a few iterations. I took the pictures myself, and the biggest problem was managing the pictures and how they would fit in with the storyline within the context of the number of pages that I had available to write. So I tried to get a photo that corresponds to the story on each page, and actually I think it worked out pretty good because everything kind of fell into place, and you could actually see the different emotions that Chubby projects in each photo as the story progresses.
I see him projecting the photo or projecting the idea of rest in a couple of these. He seems to be slow-moving little guy. There is probably other book. There probably are the other books out there dealing with characters like Chubby Wubbles. Have you had an opportunity to get feedback from people who have read this book, and what is their reaction to it?
Well, they all kind of enjoy it. They said it's an interesting concept, and the story flows really nice. There's a lot of drama in it near the end, and it just it's more or less entertaining. The beginning of the story just kind of starts out with the different emotions that Jeffrey and Chubby are going through, and then it reflects Chubby's personality and the things that Jeffrey does for Chubby, and their bond that develops over a period of time.
U.S. Review of Books, you've had some nice reviews. This particular reviewer mentioned this. It's a heartwarming as well as educational. This wonderful furry tale has all the essential elements to make it a childhood classic. Abrams has incorporated a number of components that make it truly exceptional. That's a nice commendation on your work.
Yeah, it is. I was kind of surprised, actually.
Wonderful.
But I felt, you know, that when I finally did the last iteration, I had an opportunity because of I got that Gold Seal of Literary Excellence, so it gave me an opportunity to finally to update and finalize, which I thought was... prior to that revision, I thought it was pretty close to the way it should be, but it just gave me an opportunity to kind of gloss over the book. So I think that after about 10 years and a few iterations, it came out to be about the best that I think I could ever do.
Fabulous.
I'm really not an author, but I do have something in mind for later, for another time, because we were taking care of two ferrets.
Oh, my.
And,
well, they're a fascinating character anyway. This one is titled, the title of your book is Chubby Wubbles, and our author M.J. Abrams has joined me from Michigan. Sir, where do we get copies of your book?
Well, they can be ordered through Trafford.com. They're available also on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, and also as an e-book.
Now, does Chubby also have a website?
Yeah, chubbywubbles.com. Actually, I took some additional photos, and they're there if people are interested to see some different views of Chubby as part of the whole complex of the book and the website.
Well, he's a charming-looking character, and delighted to have met him through your eyes. The book, again, is titled Chubby Wubbles. M.J. Abrams has been my guest. Mr. Abrams, when can we expect the next installment, do you think?
Well, it just depends on how things go with this book, but right now we're just taking it one day, one week at a time, and see where it goes.
Best of luck with this. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
For Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.